discovered over and over creative thoughts that I don't know where they came from. I certainly didn't just dream them up.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today with my friend, Arlita Winston. I'm so glad that we've had the chance to have Arlita on with us for several days, talking about how she raised her children. I think all of us who know the Winston family are very impressed with their behavior, with the fact that they are not only disciplined, and that the household, even when the children were small, seemed to run on oiled wheels, but also that they are very normal, relaxed, happy, in fact, hilariously funny kids. I love being around the Winston kids. So when I've told the story at times of the discipline in their home, people think, oh, those poor kids, they must be regimented like a bunch of Prussian soldiers. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. And I think one of the great secrets to the kind of discipline that they were able to implement is the attitude of the parents and the quiet, restful calm and control that comes through the personalities of both your husband Joe and you, Arlita. Now, you've told me that you instituted something, did you call it quiet time or quiet hour with your children in the afternoon?
I don't know that I called it anything at the time. It just was a very real concept that I wanted. And later on, that's what it's been called. But at that time, I just knew that I didn't want them running my schedule. And I wanted to put them on a schedule. And they weren't going to be telling me when I did things, and I wanted to enjoy my children, and I thought, while they're little, I need to put them into a schedule where they can be quiet at times and not just always demanding attention.
When did they have to be quiet, for example? How early in the day did it begin?
Well, if they woke up very, very early in the morning, that was not the signal for me to go get them up and start the day. If they woke up early, I made sure that the night before there were some things nearby at hand at the crib that they could reach and get, that they could play with, and maybe a little book that they could read that would not tear easily, and they could keep themselves occupied for a little bit longer until we were ready to wake up.
This is before they could talk?
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. This would be like 6 months, 7 months.
And they didn't cry?
Oh, yes. I'm sure that they did. But if you go in at the time of their crying and saying, no, it isn't time to get up, now you just lie here for a little bit longer and Mommy will be in just a little bit. Now, that sounds very easy and simplistic right now over the radio. But if you do that over and over again firmly and with conviction, it gets across. And if you start very, very early with a baby, this starts putting into them a habit.
And the recognition that mother is in control.
Yes, yes.
That the child is not going to have all his wishes. I think that's a wonderful idea, putting some books in the bed, in the crib. And I have one friend who told me that she actually put a peanut butter sandwich in the crib for her 8-month-old or something. So you can imagine the state of the sheets, but I guess she figured it was worth it to have a little extra sleep herself. So then what was the next quiet time?
Well, of course, they have the regular naps, but soon they outgrow their naps. And I didn't want them to outgrow their naps. And, of course, by then, another one was coming along. And I felt that it was terribly important for them to, at least if they didn't go to sleep, be quiet and have a time all alone to just play.
Whoever heard of a child being alone during the day and quiet?
Well, it was, of course, in the safety of their crib, or as they got older, because they'd been used to this, it was no problem to leave them in their regular bed that they took their morning nap in. In the afternoon, they had a time of quiet, and depending on the age, I provided activities, quiet activities for them to do. But there wasn't a noisy activity that they did. It had to be something very quiet, and it was generally reading or, at that time, paper dolls for Sarah. For the boys, they had Lego, and they would sit and just build wonderful things in their bed with
Were
Lego.
They, was each alone in a room, or did some of your children share a room?
The boys shared a room. Sarah had her own room. But quiet time, I really tried to space them out into their own room where everyone was separate.
And how long did this last? I mean, how long a period was the quiet time? An hour? An hour
mm-hmm.
every afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this must have been a wonderful thing for you.
Oh, it was a lifesaver. And I could choose exactly what I needed to do, and depending on the day. And many a time I took that hour, especially when the children were little, to lie down myself and just close my eyes and put my feet up.
Well, that's what Valerie does.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it worked for her, and I'm so glad to know that you found that it worked for you, too. And I know my mother did the same thing. And mother took the view that every human being needs to learn the value of solitude and silence. And Pascal said that what was wrong with the world was that everything that was wrong with the world, I think was the way he put it, could be attributed to man's inability to sit quietly in his room. So you, Arlita, taught your children from the time they were 6 months old to be quiet in their rooms. I can't think of a more important thing you could teach your child.
I don't know that I had thought it out quite so well as you're describing it. At the time, I think I was just desperate, and I felt I needed to do the world a favor by going and taking a nap. And if I needed it, they could certainly do it.
But now, what would you say to a young mother who says to you, well, Arlita, you are the luckiest woman in the world to have such wonderful children, the way they obey you. My kids, they wouldn't stay 5 minutes in their room. They'd be in my room saying, oh, Mom, I'm bored, or what can I do next, or I need a drink of water, or I have to go to the bathroom.
I had to plan so that they would have something to do. And I also think that it enables a child to become creative. Some of my children write poetry and write stories, and these were times of reflection when they enjoyed this time. It wasn't a punishment. I hope I'm not getting that across at all, because these were valued times.
That's exactly what we saw in our grandchildren. We had all, my husband and I had all the grandchildren staying with us last year for a few days, and my husband, who never had any children, my husband Lars Grin is my third husband, and he never had any children, so it was a new experience for him. And he had the sensation that there was constant movement and doors slamming and people running up and down the stairs and things going on and toilets flushing and water running.
Mm-hmm.
But he could not get over the fact that suddenly 2 o'clock in the afternoon came and there wasn't a sound. He thought everybody had gone. He said, where are the kids? I said, it's quiet hour. So the mother who says, well, you have wonderful children, my children would not do that, what do you say to them?
Perhaps they're giving up too soon, and they have to start very early. I'm not sure how I would do it with a child who hadn't been taught from the very earliest years. I certainly would be willing to give it a try.
How do you think you'd start?
I think I would talk to the child if hopefully they were at the age. Are you talking about, say, 2 and above now?
Yes, a child that's beyond the usual nap age.
All right. I think I would talk to them and present it more from a positive angle of, would you like to do something very, very special all by yourself?
And no, I don't want to.
Well, we're going to do it. And let me show you what you're going to do. And it's at that moment you cry, help, God. Because I discovered over and over, creative thoughts that I don't know where they came from. I certainly didn't just dream them up, but I believe that God put those creative ways for me to go to help a child to understand what we were going to do and why, and that He really was going to do it.
I do believe that children can enjoy that, and you've used this word creative. I know that you are an extremely creative family. Can you tell us some of the things that your children do? Let me tell my radio audience that I know you sing, you play the piano, you're a hostess with the Mostest, you cook, you are a sculptress, you paint.
Well, many of these things are things that I've just taken on because I love doing it. I'm not a professional at any of them.
Thank you so much for being with us again, Arlita, and we're looking forward to hearing some more from you about rearing children.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.